just want to say thank you to the guys that helped me out this evening, and the ones that I asked were very willing to help out. So thanks to you guys. Tonight is an interesting night because I really like this topic. It's an interesting topic. I think it's something that we all deal with in some form. So I'm excited about that. Also because this is just in the midst of some of the most busy times of this whole semester. A lot of you are involved with making music, and you know how crazy that can be. So, you know, it's not extremely unlikely to see somebody who's just a wreck this week. So you see people, you know, it looks like it's like 3 in the afternoon, and they look like they just got up, but they've been awake all day. And it's like, you know, people just, it's tough. We have tests and all that stuff. And so it's kind of funny because you look at those people, and as college students, we realize we know, you know, what's going on there sometimes. But sometimes we might look at them and you know, we might think a couple of things about them. So tonight we're going to be talking about judgment, about do not judge. That's the name of the topic. But I really like the theme that we have this semester in these Wednesday night sermon. So, astonished. Think about that for a second. Astonished. I think the reason behind that being that Jesus' words were not things that these people had heard their whole lives. These people had grown up keeping the traditions and keeping the laws of the Jews, and a lot of them were Gentiles, the people that were hearing these things that Jesus was talking about. So a lot of the information that Jesus came and brought to these people was just entirely new. It was just crazy stuff to them. And they, you know, some people, they might think, what? That's what I'm supposed to do? Can you think about the rich young ruler and his astonishment at Jesus when he said, you know, go and sell all that you have. You know, he's done all the things that he's been commanded to do since childhood. But the next step, go and sell all that you have. And Jesus almost took their law, he almost took what they had to do to be faithful and raised it a step. He took that and just raised the bar. Because, you know, the phrases that he uses, you've heard it said to those of old, like, you know, this is what has always been taught. But he says, but I tell you, but I say to you, you know, don't even be, you know, he says, do not murder, but, and do not lust and all these things, but I tell you, you know, don't even, you know, sorry, I messed that up. Do not commit adultery, but I tell you, don't even lust after somebody. You know, don't even envy after something that your brother or sister has. And all these things, he just takes these commandments and these things that they had been taught for their whole lives, and he raised the bar. So it makes sense that these people might have been astonished at some of the teachings that Jesus had. The text tonight is going to be from Matthew chapter 7, if you'd like to go there. But I'm going to start off kind of somewhere else. So Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be a little bit tonight. But I also want to look at the passage that Luke read for us. So if you want to turn to James chapter 4 as well. Or you don't have to. But James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Now before I read this, it's something that we recognize, that the Bible tends to look at judging others as something that we don't need to do, something that's bad, something that we should stay away from as Christians. It can be negative. It can lead to all kinds of problems. It's something that we all know. And read this. Let's read this passage again, verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So we read this passage and we think, obviously, you know, this is something that we shouldn't do. We shouldn't judge people. We shouldn't speak evil against one another. And that's right. We shouldn't do that. Speaking evil against each other, you know, talking bad about each other is not ever the answer. It's not ever something that we need to do. But the reason that I read this passage first is because the passage in Matthew chapter 7 kind of has, I think, another meaning almost, or another indication as to what we might take from it. So let's go to there. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Now, this verse that we're about to read is one of the most misquoted verses, in my opinion, in the whole Bible. People use it as a defense for just about anything that they might do. If someone does something and anyone, you know, calls them out on it, or, you know, someone suggests maybe you shouldn't have done that or whatever, sometimes people just spout this off as a defensive mechanism. They say, you know, don't judge. Only God can judge me. Only Jesus can judge. Or judge not, lest ye be judged. You know, it's something that we've heard in many cases so many times. And I think that it's something that we don't think about often enough in the context that it's given to us in this passage. We sometimes use it as a defense, and people try to guard from being called out or being put down. And it's a good thing to think about, but let's keep reading. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So I think in this passage, we see that instruction of do not judge other people. You know, don't look at someone and say, what are you doing? You're doing the complete wrong thing. And then we don't realize, but we've got our own problems in our own lives. We've got things, we've got a speck in our own eye or a log in our own eye. Sometimes we have bigger problems than the people that we try to correct. And that's not the correct model of, you know, helping people or encouraging people or evangelism. That's not the way that, that's not anything that helps anyone. But he goes on, and look at verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot to attack you. And this passage is kind of interesting because it indicates to us that we actually have to be careful about some of the things we do. You know, how can we determine who is in this case, the dogs or the pigs? How can we determine what is correct, what is true, and what's not? Later on in the same chapter, in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So in order for us to not ever make any sort of judgments on anyone, it's like we can't recognize what's good and what's true and what's not. How can we make a determination on how can we decide what is true, what is sin, or how can we decide what we should or shouldn't do, or who, what teachings we should listen to or what teachings we shouldn't? If we listen to someone who's teaching something and we decide that they're teaching something that is against the Bible, is that not a judgment? Is that not passing some sort of judgment on them or on that teaching or whatever it is? I think the Bible isn't trying to tell us that we should never judge. We cannot judge, ever. Because that's almost impossible, because we use that judgment to determine what is good and to determine what is evil. How can we look at our own lives and make any sort of decision on whether we're doing is right or whether it's wrong if we can't judge good or evil? And the same concept applies to other people as well. But we do a couple of things when we look at people sometimes. And these two things are kind of similar, but at the same time, they're a little different. We look at someone and judge whether or not they're living their lives in a sinful way. And this is dangerous because we all have sin in our own lives as well. We all have problems in our own lives. And when I look at someone and I think, you know, ooh, what are they doing? I forget about my own problems for a little bit. One of my favorite people in the Bible to learn from is David. Because to me, David is so genuine, and he's so much like a person that you might be around today. He's so much like us sometimes. And I identify with him so often. Because David was a man that even though he did great things and that he was lifted up by God so often, he messed up a lot. He messed up a lot, and so do we. And so I just really like learning from the story of David. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, this passage is something that I think we fall into. We fall into the same mindset as David a lot of times. Do you remember this the context of this story? When David and Bathsheba, whenever they messed up, whenever they had all the problems that happened there, Nathan calls David. The Lord sent Nathan to David. And he comes up and he tells him a story. And it starts in verse 1. There were two men in a certain city, and one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he had brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to a rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own He was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Now this is the part that I think is interesting. Because David responds in verse 5. It says, "Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and he had no pity.'" David was outraged at this. He did not accept this in any way. He said, "Who would do such a thing? How could you do that?" And he came down so harshly on this man. And what happens? Well, a lot of us, many of us know this, but look what happens in verse 7. Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and gave you your master's house and your master's wives and into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord and to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and taken his wife to be your wife and killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." That's really harsh. Can you imagine how David felt when he heard this? Can you imagine how much pain that brought to David and how difficult that was for him in that moment? Because David was so quick to condemn and to judge this person for the terrible things that he had done. And yet, when you look at what David had done, it was much worse by many standards. You know, he killed someone's husband and married her, and that's just the beginning of it. He covered all this up, and David was so angry that this man would take this little lamb from someone else, from his neighbor. And that's sometimes what we do, isn't it? Sometimes we have such great problems in our lives. We have so much sin and so many difficulties in our own lives. And then when we hear something about someone else, when we hear what whoever, you know, so-and-so, when we hear what they did, we're kind of like, "Oh, man, I didn't know they were like that." Or, "You know, I might think differently about them now." Or, "I don't know how I feel about them anymore." And so we look at other people's problems and other people's things that they've done, and we come down so harshly on that, and so many times we forget that we've done more or just as much as they have. And that's the thing. All of us have problems. We're not perfect. We can't be perfect. And so when we look at other people and we decide something about their value, when we decide how much that person is worth because of what they've done, that's when we're making a mistake. Because God tells us that we're all worth something. We're all valuable. All of our lives have meaning and have purpose. And yet we devalue each other because of the things that we've done and forget that we've done the same. Not only is it about looking at people's actions and the things that they do, but we can also look at judgment in a more superficial way. We can also look at judgment in kind of an earthly way. If you want to look at James chapter 2, I'm going to read a little bit from James chapter 2. James 2, verse 1. "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? So let's look at this on two different levels. First of all, the superficial level, the physical level. When someone comes in to a church building and they don't have anything, they don't have nice clothes, and what they're wearing is just kind of dirty, or they might smell bad, what would we think of that person? You know, sometimes we might think, he doesn't have any respect for worship. He doesn't have any respect for the Lord. You know, what is he doing? But sometimes that's not what we should focus on. We focus on the wrong things because we make judgments about the value of people based on what they wear, based on their abilities to play sports or to sing or whatever. You can throw in any category. Their academics. We judge people and decide their value based on those things so many times. You know, who are they hanging out with? Who are they dating? Who are their parents? Who are their friends? And we look at those people and we make decisions about them and whether or not they're good enough to be involved with us or whether or not they deserve our time. But I'm here to tell you tonight that every person in this world, every person in this room deserves our time. Deserves our love. Because it doesn't matter where people come from. It doesn't matter the background that people have. Because God's given us something more. He's given us something to look forward to. A purpose that was mentioned in this passage as well. God chose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him. Now, obviously, he's not saying that only the poor people on earth are, you know, will have their richness in faith. But he's definitely pointing to the fact that it's entirely possible for someone who is poor on this earth to be more abundantly blessed and rich than someone who is rich in this world physically. So we look at people and we make these decisions, but is there a reason for us to judge? Is there a reason for us to pass judgment on people? John chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." If we look at this and we say, you know, do not judge ever, never, how can this passage say judge with right judgment? Judge with righteous judgment. Those two things don't seem to line up when you look at them on the surface. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 15. I already talked about this, but beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You will recognize them by their fruits. So what people give to us, what people produce in their lives, the good that they do, the bad that they do, how are we to make sure that we stay with people who are not false prophets? How are we able to make decisions on, you know, who is bearing good fruit if we're not able to judge at all? We have to have a righteous form of judgment. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And obviously, we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. We're supposed to be there for each other and lift each other up. But what does it say? It says, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. How can we speak out against something that anyone does if we're unable to make any form of judgment on them or on their actions? So many times, that's something that Christians struggle with these days, is so many people in this world are looking at Christians and saying, you can't speak out against homosexuality. You can't speak out against this because you're judging people. You're putting people down. You're devaluing people. How can we make decisions about speaking out against sin without passing some sort of judgment on actions like those? It's a difficult spot for us to be in as Christians. But it's obvious that we have to decide something. We have to make some kind of judgment. Because when we see a fellow Christian, when we see them mess up or make mistakes, it's our job to build them up and to lift them up. And how can we restore someone who has messed up if we can't recognize that their actions were not good? We can't judge their actions in any way. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 is the parallel to Matthew, or that little section. And it says it in Matthew as well, but I like this, the way that Luke puts it. And it will be given to you, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. I kind of skipped the first part. It says, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. So that's our mindset. That's what we need to focus on, is giving the measure that we expect on ourselves, or that we hold ourselves to. It's important for us to remember that people respond to genuineness. People like when we're genuine, when we're real, when we don't fake anything, when we're not one person at church and another person outside of church. People like real people who they can relate to, who they can feel connected to. And if we stand up somewhere up front here and we try to say that, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm doing everything correctly, I've got my act together, and all these people who are sinners, they don't. If that's our mindset, if that's how we act, if we look at other people and we're judging them for the things that we're doing and we're ignoring the sins that we commit, that's not righteous judgment. And it also brings people further away from God, because if you want to reach someone, if you truly want to make an impact on someone's life, then they have to respect you. They have to see that you're genuine, or make a connection. See that you're just like them. We're all in this together. All of us are in the same position. We all struggle. We all have temptations, and we all fail. So how are we looking at other people and judging them more strictly than we judge ourselves? The moment we learn to look at ourselves and realize that we have messed up just as much as anyone in this world, and our sin is just as sinful as theirs, then we start to respect the situations that other people are in a little bit more. And I think that's important. When we're able to recognize our own flaws and that we're far from perfect, we're able to help others deal with their problems in a much better way. When we don't recognize our problems and our flaws, the planks in our own eyes, how can we be genuine when speaking to others about Christ? How can others respect us if we preach about the idea of being called to a higher standard or being separate from the world, but we're still not? We're not called, or we're not living to a higher standard. We don't separate ourselves from the world. How can we preach that if we're not doing it ourselves? Being genuine goes a long way. When people understand that we're in it together and that we're not perfect, but we're trying, they can relate to us, because everybody struggles. People outside the church are turned off by hypocrisy. And there may even be some of you in this room right now that are frustrated with Christians, and maybe even you're having doubts because of people. And I'm here to tell you that that's the wrong focus. Because the good part about the church and the incredible things that we've been given is not in humanity. It's not in people. It's with God. Because people mess up. All of us do. And there are going to be times where even the church does things that are wrong and does things that will upset people and hurt people's feelings. And if you leave, if you have doubts about God or about your faith because of something that a person does, I'm sorry. I hate that happens sometimes, but the real focus that we should have is on God. As I wrap up, one thing I want us to think about and remember is that we don't always know what situations people are going through in their lives. We're so quick to judge sometimes, but the person who, you know, just got a little bit too angry at an intramural basketball game or whatever it is, they could have been going through something really difficult. They could have had a moment in their life that has pushed them to the edge, or they could be struggling with their faith. And we look at them sometimes and we think, you know, we change our opinions about them, or we think they're not as good because they've done these things, or I'm using very mild examples, but there's so many different things that we see people do that causes us to stop and maybe change our opinion of them. Think about your own life. Think about the struggles that you have. You know, when's the last time you sinned? What were the situations? Were you struggling with something? Were you having doubts about your faith? I want to tell a story real quick that I read on the internet. A few years ago, a 24-year-old man, seeing out of the train's window, shouted, "Dad, look, the trees are going behind us." As his dad smiled, a young couple sitting nearby looked at the 24-year-old's childish behavior with pity, when suddenly he again exclaimed, "Dad, look at the clouds. They're running with us." The couple couldn't resist and said to the old man, "Why don't you take your son to see a good doctor?" The old man smiled and said, "I did. We're just coming home from the hospital. My son has been blind from birth, and today is the first day he's ever been able to see." I think that's an interesting story because it puts into perspective that all of our situations are different. When you look at someone's actions and you don't understand them, or you judge those things, maybe it's because of something they're going through, or maybe it's because they're having difficulties with something. We've all been there. We've all done those things. We've all messed up. So is there a way to judge in a righteous way? Obviously, because we're told to decide what is good, decide what is false teachings and what is truth, and to build people up who have messed up. But so often, it's easy for us to judge in a way that tears people down, or that doesn't accurately depict our own lives, or that doesn't show respect to other people. And that drives people away. Hypocrisy and being judgmental on a superficial level, or being self-centered with our judgments, those things are bad, and we have such a bad habit of doing them. So I encourage you tonight, think about your own lives. Think about the things that you've done, and just look at yourself. Are you holding yourself to the same standards that you hold other people to? And if not, maybe that'll help you understand other people a little bit more. And maybe that will help you learn to lean on those people a little bit more. And we've talked a lot about judging, and that happens a lot. But fortunately for us, our fate is not decided by the judgment of other people. Our fate is decided by the judgment of our God. And unfortunately, we all deserve the worst. We all deserve to be punished, or we all deserve to, you know, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve what we've been given, the opportunities that we've been given, because we've all messed up too much. But fortunately for us, God is so much more merciful and has so much more grace than we do. And God cares and loves us, and He knows our circumstances, and He's allowed us to have an opportunity. And if you haven't taken that opportunity, then you have an opportunity tonight. You have a chance tonight. If you're afraid of that judgment, that there's an opportunity for you to take a look at your life and to turn around and to repent from those things that we've been stuck in and be baptized tonight, or if you need prayers, if either of those things, if that's what you want, come forward tonight as we stand and sing.